Now we're very thankful to see all who come tonight, and we're reminded of the meetings night after night, each night at 8 o'clock, and Sunday evening at 7:30. Come along, bring your friends. But I would say one thing, bring your Bibles with you, and see if what we're saying is the truth, because this is the only reliable source of information on spiritual things, is the Word of God. And in many circles today, the Word of God is displaced with something else. But if it's from the Word of God, then we have to bow to it. So bring your Bibles, see if these things are true, and if they are, it's only wisdom on the part of anyone to consider what God says, because He's going to have the final word. Let's look tonight, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Reading from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The last I want to read is in Revelation chapter 20. The last book in the Bible, chapter 20. And verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know where you would get more solemn words than that. And yet they're truthful because they come from God. I want to think first of all of what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have a people that are lost, but thank God can be saved. In the second portion, we have a people that are saved, and thank God can't be lost. But then in the last one, we have a people that are lost and cannot be saved. But you see, the reason why we take courage in preaching the gospel from night to night in different parts of the world is simply this. We believe that the word of God that's preached, the gospel of the grace of God when it's preached, is the power of God unto salvation, and it's God that has the power to save souls. And when He does that, He does a good job of it. And that's the reason why we will not be using high-pressure methods to try to get people into something. We just leave them with the word of God itself, because it's God that saves. One of the great preachers of the past over in England, he was going down the street one day, and he was passing a man that was in the gutter, under the stupor of drink. And a man said to him, he says, there's one of your converts, sir. He said it must be, because if he had been one of God's, he wouldn't be there. So what we are doing, we're trying to preach the gospel of the grace of God. The grace of God brings salvation, and when God saves a soul, he does a good job of it. And so we hope and we trust that someone in these meetings, or more than one, will get to realize the condition that they're in, lost before God, needing salvation. Now, I'm sure that if we were to talk to some after the meeting, and not likely we will, but if we were to ask you going out tonight, are you saved or are you lost? Maybe some would even be a little bit disturbed and wish that we didn't say that. But I want to say very emphatically before I go any further, that as God looks down upon this scene, he only sees two classes of people. Those that are saved and going to heaven, and those that are lost and going to hell. But you see, we read of a first of all in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, of a people that are lost, but can be saved. And that's the reason we keep on preaching the gospel, because here and there there's one and another that will take in the message of God and be saved by the grace of God. And I want to tell you, after 63 years of trusting Christ and his gospel, I can tell you that it's something that's well worth having day after day. And then at the end of the journey, I'm leaving this scene, and I don't know how soon. I was thinking a couple of years ago it was going to be the end, but it didn't happen. But sooner or later, I'm going to believe in this scene, because God has saved me 63 years ago, and I'm going to heaven to be with him like the Lord Jesus Christ forever. What a moment that will be when we leave this poor godless scene behind us, with all the disappointments and trials and heartaches, and we go into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. And every person that has been saved will understand what we're talking about, but the person that's not saved can't really enter into the joy of it. But first of all, people that are lost, but can be saved. I want to say before I go any further, that until a person finds out that they're lost, they can't be saved. What would they be saved from? What would they be needing salvation if they weren't lost? Reminds me of the Indian man that was standing on the hill, and he saw a man going by, and he cupped his hands. He says, "White man, lost." The white man said, no, I'm not lost." And he kept on walking. And by and by, he saw some more footprints. So he said, "I'm getting closer to the village now." And so he's following this two footsteps. And he come around, and he comes to the point where he sees the Indian again up on the hill. He says, "White man, lost." "No," he said, "I'm not lost." He says, "Here's these tracks. They must be taken to the village, and I'm keeping going." And he did, and he made another circle. The Indian said once more, "White man, lost." And he had to put his pride in his pocket, if he had one, and realize, "I am lost." Now, I want to say very emphatically tonight, until you find out you're lost, you'll never be saved. So somebody, what do you mean by being lost? Well, we were talking about in the last few nights here that when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he was severed from the hand of God, from the very fellowship of God. He was lost in this world, and if it had not been that God looked down in mercy and grace and love, and sent his son into the world to die for us, we would just have been taken this whole globe of ours and cast into the lake of fire. That's all we deserve. But oh, thank God in his mercy, he looked down and he could see us in our desperate and terrible need. Lost to God. There was no harm in between us. And did you ever stop and think, did you ever get into a room where there's nobody there but you and God, and carry on a conversation? Or is it just a matter you get down your knees, maybe night and morning, and you say a little prayer? But are you conscious that there's one that's above listening? That there's a fellowship there? That there's a communion between you and God? It's only the person that's saved that can do that! Thank God they can, And I can tell you, after being sometimes in a terrible condition in the hospital, it's only the person that's saved by the grace of God that can understand what it is. A little talk with Jesus, how it soothes the rugged road, how it seems to help me onward when I faint beneath the load. Though the skies may darken on me, and all around seems dim, there's not can heal me comfort like a little talk with Him. That's the person that's saved, but the person that's lost can't do that. Somebody, you know, if sometimes people say, yeah, I know, I'm not saved. And if you say, are you lost? They say, well, I guess I must be. That's what the Bible says. But they don't realize it. And more, they don't believe it. Because the person that believes the word of God that I'm lost, that person gets into a panic. That person gets into wanting to do something about it. You know, there was a young man down in Halifax, well, he's still there. And when he came from Czechoslovakia, another Czechoslovakian man that knew the language went to see him, got him out to gospel meeting. Yes, one of our gospel meetings. And he said to this young man, he said, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Oh, yes, he said, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, he said, then you're saved. Oh, no, he said, I'm not saved. Oh, yes, he says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're saved. Oh, well, all right then. He says, I'm saved. So he went on for 3 or 4 months like, you know, he was going to the meetings and it was boredom to him. He couldn't understand why these people seemed to be enjoying it. He went to a Sydney conference. Mr. Ramsey got talking to him. And you know, he's very blunt and plain. And he said to him, sir, he says, are you saved? Oh, yes, he says, I'm saved. He says, were you ever lost? Lost? No, he says, I'm not lost. Well, then he says, you're not saved. The young fellow says, well, he says, I didn't really think I was, but he says, he told me I was. He says, I was going along with it. But you know something, when Ramsey was preaching that night, that man got down to business and got the matter settled before the meeting was over. And he's going on to please God. I want to say this is a reality, getting saved. It's not joining a church. It's not joining the gospel hall. It's not joining a certain people on earth. It's not coming up to the front or shaking hands with a preacher. There's no merit in a preacher's hand. God's salvation is a reality. And it's only those that have trusted Christ that can really enjoy it. But you see, here's the people and they're lost, all right. But I want to stress this. If I get no further, I want to drive this home tonight. You've got to find out one thing. You're lost to God. And in that condition, you can never, never, never know what it is to be in God's heaven. And while you're lost, you're going on in your sins. And every day, the sin is building up and building up and building up to one terrific load. Lost. I was lost once on a ship in the Bay of Fundy. It was the olden days when they had the thing out of the back of the rope with a spinner on it to tell where we were. 125-mile-an-hour winds turning up the tides there, the highest tides in the world. We were bouncing like a cork in the ocean. Finally, after we found out that the spinner was gone, they couldn't tell where we were, and you couldn't see any further than the length of the boat. The captain says, turn around, let her go. We drifted 2 days and 2 nights out into the Atlantic again, 200 miles, until they found their bearings at last. I tell you, nobody was cursing and swearing then. Oh, they were playing the cards before that, and they were drinking, and they were cursing and swearing. But the man that cursed the most, I said to him, do you ever think of where you'll be when you die? Die, he said, we die like a dog, and that's the end of it. When I was coming off the watch one time, here he's standing up against the big iron door, and he's standing as white as sheet as the waves are going right over the deck. I said to him, are you sick? No, he says, I'm not sick. I said, are you scared? He says, what do you mean scared? He says, I'm afraid of we're going to go down. Well, I said, you told me the other day that we died like a dog and that's the end of us. I said, let her go. Oh, he says, don't say that. Oh, no, there's something built right into mankind that responds to God himself. And when he comes face to face with eternal matters, then he begins to think. My friend, tonight I wonder, I hope, I trust that God will not have to bring you into some kind of condition before you stop and realize, I'm lost! I'm lost! To think of a soul going through the everlasting burnings, crying out, I'm lost, when that individual could be saved. Neither someone to me tonight, I'm telling you, if you were to get saved, the heavens above would ring with joy. And a father and mother, probably, if they're saved, they would be rejoicing to the very hilt. The Christians would be thanking God for it. And here you are, in a position where, lost to God, and if you don't get saved, it's hellfire for all eternity. May God stop your mad career. But then we come to another place where there's people that are saved and can't be lost. That's where I am. And I'm so thankful it's the power of God that saves us to begin with. It's God's mighty power to bring the conviction of sin upon us. You know, we have no power in ourselves when we're preaching. We can't save anybody, and we can't even create an anxious thought in anybody. But we're leaving with God himself, and we're hoping and we're trusting and we're praying that God will reach down and speak to some precious soul and let him see where he is, lost before him, and bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Because I'm going to tell you something. If he save you, you'll be well saved. My brother-in-law said to me one time, I could understand my wife being saved, and I could understand your wife being saved. And he says, I could understand you being saved, a goody-goody. He didn't know me to be. But he says, I could never see me being saved. That's the way he died. The next summer at 40. His old drunken stupor. My friend, stop and think tonight, God can save anyone, no matter where they are. And here's the people that are saved, and they can't be lost. Away with this idea, save the day and lost tomorrow. I couldn't hold on to it for 24 hours. And God doesn't ask me to hold on to it, because he tells us in 1 Peter 1:5, kept by the mighty power of God. And again in John 10:37. What did he say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man will take them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen, little Robert McElwain, a little fellow 9 years away back in the backwoods of Nova Scotia, and God picks me up and puts me into his hand. And his hand in his Father's hand. Double security. How could I be lost? My, I'm thankful for that. He doesn't give me the keeping of my soul. It cost him too much. People are saved and can't be lost. Eternal ages will roll on, never, never, never to finish, as they wade through the waves and billows of God's righteous wrath, forever. And let me say it kindly, those that have heard the gospel from infancy, their punishment that much worse. Forever. No wonder the hymn writer seemed to catch the words when he said, where will you spend eternity? Listen, eternity will never be spent. But it's either heaven or hell forever. May God help somebody tonight to realize, I've got a soul to be saved. I've got a soul no grave digger will ever cover. It's either to be with Christ forever. And my friend, now is the time of your opportunity. And if God is speaking to you at all, if there's a tinge in your soul of wanting to be saved, that's not natural. That comes from the living God. And it's a time when he wants to save you. Don't put it off. Norman Crawford and I were going down along the river towards Steubenville, Ohio, for a conference many years ago. And as we're going along the road, you look across the river and all those iron mills. I said to him, what's all that bright light over there? He said, that's the iron that's melted. It's in liquid form as it's pouring out. And then he said, you know, we're going to a place today where there was a man coming to meetings when our brethren were having gospel meetings. He worked in those mills. And he said, oftentimes the belt would slip off a big pulley. And he said, he was just like a cat. He'd run up the side of that and throw the belt. And the thing would never even stop and the mill keep on going. He was going to the meeting. Brethren said to him on a Friday night as he was going out, do you think about getting saved? Yes, he says, I would like to be saved. And he says, I'm going somewhere tomorrow night. But he says, after that, I'll come back on Sunday night and I'm going to get this matter settled. The brethren said, listen, you may not be around on Sunday night. Oh, yes, he says, I'll be here. He went to work on Saturday morning. 10 o'clock. The belt snapped. He ran again and threw the belt, but his arm caught in and it fell on, and it dropped into a vat of boiling liquid, white heat iron. The grappling irons were thrown in quickly and they dragged him up. He was nearly gone, but they did hear him say very mumbly, it's death and hell for Jock Boyce. Death and hell for Jock. Friend, it's eternity that's stretching out before you. It's heaven or hell. May God enable you to realize you could be saved from that terrible end, but you'll have to get down to business about it and trust the word of God and trust Christ. May it be for the first time.